Today, this is April 8th, 1981, Wednesday morning around 11 o'clock, and this is Carson Naylor speaking with Louise Archer Kirk. Okay, Louise, let's start out with this interview and ask you a question about performing. Can you tell us, reminisce a little bit to us about, whatever you're thinking about?
Well, as I said before, most of the farming was done both the horses and mules.
Mm-hmm.
And my father also had a dairy herd and sold milk, and nothing was done by hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then in harvesting the crops, for instance, the corn crop, that was cut by hand and then bundled and then shocked.
Mm-hmm.
And then the toward fall, I guess, or maybe in the fall perhaps, the corn was cut, and I have a cut finish, and would you like to see it?
Yeah, later on I'll want to look at that.
And then, as I said, we had no electricity,
mm-hmm.
and the cooking was done with a cook stove. My mother made homemade bread and pies,
mm-hmm.
and cake,
yeah.
And the telephone was one of the crack kind where you could call a neighbor or so, and cracking it so many times.
Yeah.
And then I went to school, grammar school. At that time, the grammar school, there was big hype on mm-hmm. Singer and Clayton Rouge. And now the Maple View Baptist Church is built very close to where the school
mm-hmm.
stood. The school has long since been raised.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and I walked, no buses.
Mm-hmm.
How far did you think that went
from the home to the school?
Probably a mile, I think.
A good mile,
mm-hmm.
one way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like a short cut, but even then I expect it was 3/4 of a mile. I'm not sure when I'm not good on distances. And then we had a spring house where you could keep the milk and butter. And then there was no refrigerators, that is, as we have them today.
Mm-hmm.
We had an ice box.
Louise, could you tell me a little bit more about the farm as far as how big your father's farm was and some of the activities on the farm?
Well, the farm, it was approximately 150 acres. Part of it was in the 3rd district and part in the 1st.
Yeah, that's good.
And we churned, we made homemade butter, we had poultry.
Yeah.
And garden,
mm-hmm.
and there was a large, right, large apple orchard. We had quite a few apple, various kinds of apples,
mm-hmm.
and also some pear trees,
mm-hmm.
and cherry trees,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and one was a Montmorency.
What is that in Montmorency? What's
it's
that?
A sour cherry.
Oh, it's a type of a cherry.
And the other one was a black heart, and it was, the cherries were very sweet. They were
mm-hmm.
large black cherries, and
mm-hmm.
it was sweet. But the Montmorency, they are good for pies and desserts, very
yeah.
sour,
yeah.
very tart.
Louise, you said something that you got to talk about how you process the hay on the farm. Could you tell us anything about that?
Well, when the hay was ripe and brought into the barn, of course it was loaded on a large wagon, brought into the barn, and unloaded by a hay fork, which had two immense prongs, and was probably, the hay fork was probably about 2 feet across. Now that hay fork was manipulated by ropes and pulleys,
mm-hmm.
and brought down on the wagon and clamped into an immense amount of hay. Now there was a mule we had that was very good at pulling the rope, which took the hay, the load of hay, on the fork up to the mow, and it swung across into the mow, and then tripped, and the what was on the fork was released. And then she would come back, and this man on the wagon could pull the fork back and get another load, and then the repeat, she went out.
What was the name of your mule? Did you have one for?
Well, I think Beck.
Beck? I thought I was going to say maybe Betsy or something.
No, Beck.
Her name is Beck.
And yes, because she was very good at that. My father also canned tomatoes on the farm for a while. Then after a time, I don't know just how long, he did can there, but he then went on to the Eastern Shore near Berlin and leased a factory and came there for a while. And then after that, after he left there, he went on to Delaware, and then after he came for a while there, he just continued canning.
Louise, you were just telling me some very interesting stories about your childhood. Could you tell us something about that?
Well, I had lots of cats at one time, I think over 20, and I would play with them and be scratched, bit up, I guess. And I was told that one day that I had seen turkeys flying, I guess, and I decided to fly like a turkey. And I got up on a chair, flapped my wings, and flew. I landed on the floor, and I imagine I hurt myself somewhat by landing so hard on the floor.
Did you ever try to fly again?
I think that's true.
Well, you were talking about your cat. Did you have an angry cat? You had 20 cats. When you were talking about your cat, did you have a name for this one of them? You had 20 some odd cats?
I have just forgotten whether I'm not sure. Perhaps I did some. I'm not feeling very sure about that anymore. I can remember. To see the men milking, and I thought I would like to milk, but I couldn't milk the cows. So I would go in where the calves were and milk them, pretend I was milking.
Milking the calves?
Yeah,
did the calves ever get any?
No, they didn't get any milk.
At least you tried, right? Well, when you got older, did your father let you milk then?
Well, I have the great ability of, if I'm milked, of turning a cow dry, if you know what I mean.
No, what do you mean? If she milked it so much that she wouldn't, you couldn't get any more milk out of it?
They go dry before they're going to have a calf, you know. They have a rest period. And I guess I wasn't even maybe too keen about it as I grew older.
When you maybe wanted to see, you didn't want to anymore. That's what kids are.
I didn't have to go out to milk, no.
Did you have any brothers or sisters?
No, I'm an only child.
You're the only child? No wonder you got into so many things, huh?
I did have a sister who was born, died shortly after she was born.
Was she before or after you?
Oh, she was before.
How long do you think she lived before? When she was born, she fell out of the
children. I don't think she was born dead, but died shortly after. You know, it's one of those things. But sometimes I wish she had to live.
Oh, yeah.
But she didn't. No wonder I got into it.
Yeah, right. You had a brother or sister to teach you, but you might not have done so much other things like that.
And I followed my father a lot, you know,
around his shadow, right?
And then another thing I remember asking, I wondered where calves came from. And I asked the colored man where they came from. And he told me that the cow went to a stump, and she looked, and she could find the calf behind the stump. So I think I probably sneaked out, maybe. I have an idea. See if I could find a calf behind the stump below.
Did you make any of the other farm animals pets, you said you had cats.
Well, I am fever. Sometimes I'm my father would give me a cow, you know. I'm following him a lot, and you know, but I wanted to do, you know, for instance, I could get up on the hay wagon and go in the farm. I like to slide down through the hay.
Yeah.
That was a treat. Come down the mound.
Yeah.
And, as I say, I followed my father a lot.
Yeah.
You know, there's nobody to, well, there's just nobody next to play with.
Yeah. And of course,
when I started the school, then I got in contact with
him. Right. I bet you liked that.
Said, yes, I like to go to school.
Mm-hmm. You were talking about that one in school.
And
you were your first
Well, they were, it was about to be closed, so there wasn't many attendants. And I was almost 8 years old before I started the school.
Really? Mm-hmm. That old before?
And my mother asked me if I thought I would like to go to school. I said no. But I said yes, I thought I would. So I started the school. I liked it.
You did. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what your first teacher's name was?
Huh?
Do you remember what your first teacher's name was?
Oh yes, and the last one out there too, Miss Kathy Gaunt.
Was the last one out there, the one
she was the granddaughter of the man who went to Balmer on Friday in New England.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Lived just a short distance from here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What was the name of your first teacher there?
Miss Kathy Gaunt.
Oh, that was the first teacher. Oh, I thought you were talking about the last teacher.
No, she was the first and the last.
And the last, so there was only one.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the way you were talking and there was more than one.
I had her all the time, except that, I think it was once her uncle substituted.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But then, after that, I went to the girls' Latin school in Balmer.
The girls' Latin
school? And then I went to, from there, and I graduated from there, I went to Western Maryland College.
Mm-hmm.
Graduated in 1974, 3 years ago.
3 years ago, right. And when did you get married?
Right.
But when did you get married?
I was married in 32.
1932.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 8 years, 12.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. Well, you were over 30 years old before you got married.
Yeah.
Why was that? Because you just didn't want to get married? And you had that
well,
you going to school? And
I taught for, I guess, 3 years after I graduated. But I didn't care to teach.
What grades did you teach?
Honey?
What grades did you teach?
The first year I taught at Western Maryland Prep, and then I taught in Garrett County.
Mm-hmm. High school?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What was it about teaching to get one? You didn't have the patience for it, or what? What do you think?
Well, it's probably difficult, I guess, to say. I just didn't
feel like it was your vocation, huh?
And how about now?
Yeah.
I don't know what to do now.
Well,
no, it didn't appeal to me.
Uh-huh.
It's rather hard, difficult to say just why, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, something that has more talent,
you know. It would probably be, perhaps, don't want to do certain things.
Yeah.
It's a little hard.
Yeah, well, some people would, you know, it depends on the talent and what your interests are. You know, I don't think I'm going to be a teacher.
I always thought I would like to be a doctor. Now, that's what
would be a doctor.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, in the girls' Latin school, we had a doctor, a woman doctor, who was
mm-hmm.
not just to say that, like the house physician, you know,
mm-hmm.
she would come and when the students were sick. And she offered to help me. But I thought I was going to be very old before I would be a doctor. I figured it out that I would be 27 years old before
mm-hmm.
I graduated from medical school.
Mm-hmm.
And to a young person, I didn't
mention myself. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can remember on the Easter tour when we were there, I was very ill. I was 10 years old. And I thought the doctor that attended me was old.
Oh, boy.
And I think he probably just started the practice for years later. I asked someone if he was still alive, and the person said, I think that he was 60, I think, in that area.
Yeah.
But he came down and he was more than 30 when he was set to a child camp. A person 25 or 30. Now you probably remember that to yourself.
Oh,
as a young child, anybody's 25 or 30 years old enough to die about it.
Well, what was your husband's first name?
Huh?
What was your husband's first name?
Well, he went by the middle name.
Oh,
Guy.
Jay Guy Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Guy Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any children?
Huh?
Did you have any children?
No.
Didn't have any children?
No, no children.
Oh,
no. So, you see, I'm on my own.
Louise, could you please tell me a little bit about the ice harvesting? I know that you hear something about a pond that was on your father's farm. Where was that pond located? And then what did you kind of school you think that you used to ice harvest?
Well, this ice pond has now, it's overgrown. The trees, in fact, there's no resemblance, I don't think, to a pond there. But when I was younger, we harvested ice. Of course, that was in the winter time. And the pond froze over, and the ice was cut in large chunks, and then it was pushed over a chute, and loaded on a wagon, and taken to the ice town.
Mm-hmm.
And
what did you use to cut it with?
Well, you know, I'm not sure whether they would saw that or. You know, just break it with some of the instrument. I'm not sure anymore. But anyway, it was broken into, large pieces, immense pieces, mm-hmm. and it was several inches thick.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was, I remember too, being pushed ashore with a relaxed fork. They had two prongs. Mm-hmm. And they could jam one of those prongs into the piece of ice and shoot it ashore over the chute.
Mm-hmm.
Then, as I say, it was loaded on a wagon and brought to the ice house. We had an ice house on the farm. And this ice house, the ice house was made with poles that were put into an excavation. And it was quite a few feet underground.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was roofed. Well, when the ice was put in there, it was covered with sawdust. And it would keep quite a while.
Mm-hmm. The sawdust helped that?
Funny.
The sawdust would help keep the ice?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I knew that.
Yeah, that's why they put it on.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to get down in the ice house by, with a ladder.
Yeah.
I presume it was a nice, cool place in summer.
Oh, yeah.
And so that was quite interesting, you know. It was the ice.
Did you go in there and play?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think you want to play in that
sauna. Well, it sounded like it was quite interesting when I went down there and did something there. What all did you keep in the ice house? Did you some products from the farm?
In the ice house?
Yeah.
Just ice.
Just ice?
Yeah, that's what it is. Just ice storage.
Ice storage, and then you'd use the ice from there to go into the ice box?
And you could, when it went to cool enough, they could take it out and clean that sawdust off. You know, you had that lot of work for that. So they're stuck to that ice. Oh no, I don't know how many loads of ice they would put in there.
Mm-hmm.
It would depend on the weather and how often that pond froze over.
Mm-hmm.
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 But as I said before, I can't remember how they got those pieces cut, whether they were sawed or broken somehow, but I can remember they were immense chunks.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting. You know, pieces of ice were very heavy, and that was hard, cold work.
Yeah. Did you find it? No, I can imagine.
Out on that pond.
Yeah. Did you ever ice skate on the pond? Or did you just ice harvest off of it?
No, I never.
Did you ever go swimming out there at the pond?
I don't think it was deep enough.
It wasn't deep enough?
I don't think. I forgot just how deep it was.
Uh-huh.
But,
do you have fish in it?
No.
It didn't have any fish in it.
No, but just the ice.
Mm-hmm. And so now it's not even existing.
Then, later on, we had wild geese on another pond. They had, my father had the, another pond that was right close to a stream that ran through our place.
Mm-hmm.
And we had quite a few wild geese. At one time, I think we had over 70 wild geese.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. And they would stop by, they would just stop on the pond going to the town?
Oh, my father bought some.
Oh, he bought, they weren't the wild geese.
And I think, if I remember correctly, there was some wild ones came in, and perhaps they stayed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because my father bought what she would call a tour from a man on the Eastern Shore. Now, this goose had the ability to tow the wild ones in.
And they call them a
And they would come. They would come.
What is this call? Is this called?
Told them.
And they told them a
tolder,
huh?
A tolder, told them in.
That's what they would call this kind of...
my father wanted him so that man told him. Yeah. And that's why he had that ability to get the wild ones to come down. Yeah. Apparently there was something in his, the voice, I presume, that they apparently thought they were safe. And they're pretty, but they're very, they just make for life.
Right, I know that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do. And the gander is, they're very, good to their young. And when she's setting, and some of those ganders, you better be careful going approaching because they bite, and they're like a horse that bites. They slide off once they take a hold of you. Now, when a dog bites you, can open its mouth and let go of it.
Mm-hmm.
But a goose and a horse, when they take a hold, and that just takes your
life off. Did you get bitten by a goose?
Oh, you put your head here. I can remember the one with the cat. And they'll beat you with their wings. They turn you black and blue.
Oh, my goodness. That's pretty mean, huh? They're pretty, but they're mean, right?
Well, no, not all, but they're
certain ones.
But while they're nesting, he's very protective.
Oh, yeah.
And he watches the little ones, and also watches while she's on the nest.
That's good.
And of course, another thing that might interest you, we have a sleigh, and we go sleigh riding.
Oh, yes. Oh, I've always wanted to do that.
You know, Miss Playboy?
No, never, never. Uh-uh. So you had a sleigh and how many horses were pulling? One or two?
Oh, it was just the one horse sleigh. Mm-hmm. I had a sleigh bell. I still have some of the bells.
Do you
like to see some sleigh bells?
Oh, yes, I'd love to see some sleigh bells. Okay, now Louise has brought me these sleigh bells. And they're very glad and they're really big, aren't they?
I think they're real brass, aren't they?
This is brass.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't realize they were so, and then the ones that on the end are small, and then they get to the middle, it gets bigger. Why do you think they really did that? Why do you think they put bells on sleighs? Was it just for the sound? I thought maybe you might know. Of course, it sounds nice, though, doesn't it?
Well, when the horse talks to it, you say they make quite a musical sound.
Oh, yeah.
For the sleigh.
Uh-huh. Or for the horse.
Mm-hmm.
And
I say those, they're worth quite a bit.
Especially being made out of brass, and of course they're considered an antique. How old do you think this one piece of the harness or whatever is worth?
It's worth
or how old it is?
I don't know.
Did somebody make it? Did your father make it?
No. I sold the sleigh when I left over there.
The original farmhouse in there?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, so you don't know if your father made these or if you bought them?
Oh, no, I don't think he made them, y'all.
No. Well, some people do things like that. So.
They maybe were handmade. It looks like that's
That is always something. And like they would have them on the horses and the sleigh.
Uh-huh, yeah. There was some on the sleigh and some on the horse. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think about it, a horse when I think about that, it could startle a horse, all that noise.
Yeah, that is a lot of noise. I guess the horse got used to it, huh?
Oh, and then another thing, we would go to Blair's horse and buggy and drive around.
Right.
Mm. And my mother was afraid of animals for some reason.
Oh, my goodness. She was on a farm. That's terrible.
I don't think my mother ever cared a space for a farm.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this one horse, he was just as quiet as could be. He was a workhorse.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a habit. If a team came out behind me, he'd run. And you know, that would scare my mother half to death.
Why would you do that? Because you wanted to race, and the other horse was scared of
him. You see, at that time, we had work horses, you understand?
Right.
They were large.
Right.
And then my father had a
like
driving horse.
Are those like draft horses?
Yeah,
horse
big,
there?
You know.
Yeah.
And my father had a driving, he didn't work out in the
field.
You know, I remember she was black maid, you know, and they had a long tail that would almost sit down, and she was kept perfect. And it had
this
sensation if she couldn't bite, she could kick you if you were afraid.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And then this horse is used just for the buggy, or what?
Oh,
and she wasn't used out in the field.
Oh, no. She was smaller.
Yeah, but really pretty. What do you think kind of horse she was? Was she a walker? Can she walk?
I don't know what she was. I actually don't know.
Yeah, but she definitely wasn't a grass horse. She definitely
was
a buggy.
Oh, no. She was kept.
And she was mean.
Yes, she was.
But the draft horse. Now, this draft horse
was
trying
to... Oh, there was a design one that was right. The wrong note, wasn't it?
And I guess every time your mother would get very upset about that, wouldn't she?
Yeah,
take
he was there. For some reason, he could just run. Then he wasn't great. I guess he could upset somebody, but
yeah.
I don't know why he didn't want anything behind. He wanted like another horse or team, and he was just
run.
Well,
he got to Bel Air faster that way, didn't he?
Well, I don't know where we were going.
Is that why you got this? Is that why you had this other horse for the buggy? So that,
that would be just like now. You know, you might have one automobile that you would just go to work in every day, and then one that you would use
just for
pleasure and very
nicer
car.
What kind of a buggy did you have? How many people could fit in it?
Well, two.
Two people could fit in the buggy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I bet that was fun. Well, when did you first maybe get to drive to Bel Air in a car?
You might not believe it, the way people are now, but they have more time to go then than they do apparently now.
Oh,
because everybody's in such a grand rush. They don't know how to relax.
Oh, I know, yes.
You're in high gear and you can't get out.
Yes, fucking I know.
That's it.
Well, I mean, like, do you remember the first person in this area that had a car?
Are you around here?
In this area, the first spot.
I don't know the first one, but I know my father's first car he bought was Dalster and it was a Buick in 1912. And you will never believe this, he had never driven a car, but he drove that car from Salisbury, up there.
Back in those days, they didn't have to have a license, did they?
Huh?
Back in those days, they did not have a license to drive a car, did they?
Well, I'm not quite sure, but I know. You know when you asked that, I don't know where he had a license either. Well, anyway, he drove that car, as I say, from Salisbury, Maryland, some miles from here, home. And, but I do know that when he got his license, you'll never believe this, but all he had to do to get a license, he tried now, to say that he started to drive a car. Now you go in and
you
and say, I think I can drive. But I probably have you in there.
But that's how easy it was for him to say,
just started to drive.
And this, you said it was a 1912 Buick?
It was a 1912,
It was the time you had to get in front and crank it up?
I guess so.
Yeah.
But do you know, they were well built, and they had, were decorated. They had a lot of gray at the first, so, you know, all the gray. You know, if I had that car now, wouldn't it be worth something?
Well, I guess it would be. Well, what happened to it?
You know that something.
Did he trade it in on another car? Do you remember the next car he had? Do you remember the when he bought the next car? What year that was and what kind of car it was?
1912. Well, he had a Hudson, and I think that was around 1917.
1917 Hudson. What color was it? I guess all back in those days they were all black, weren't they?
No, that Buick was white, I think.
The Buick was white.
Did that Buick red or white?
You know, it's red. I mean, I thought all the cars back then, they were black. They did have different colors then.
I think it was red.
Well, what color was
red
the Hudson?
White. The Hudson was black.
It was black. Yeah.
And then he, when I was about 16, never had but a relative teach you to drive.
Yes, I heard that.
My father was teaching me, and I think I used the accelerator for a brake. And I'm telling you, the accelerator is not a good brake. And I was heading for a post, and he let out a shriek. So I said, I just don't drive. You know, from what it is today.
Yeah, no electricity there, no indoor plumbing.
And oil lamps,
Of course, the oil is
hot, you know, part of it, all the whole house wasn't heated.
What did you heat by? Fireplace, wood stove?
We had the stove, wood stove.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had also used coal.
He was just mentioning about that even though it was a completely entirely different type of life, things you leave now, you would seem to be pretty happy.
Yes, it was a different kind of life. I think it was more leisurely. It really seemed to have more time to do things. I think one thing, you might not know, is that I believe vision, just for the sake of vision, is a lost art.
Yeah, vision is some other aspect.
You don't go unless you actually have something. You don't have the time.
No. I did not like that anymore. It's a lot more fast-paced and, passive and hurt.
It's just, and they have more convenience. It's just because of the conveniences now.
It seems like you don't have as much time.
No, that's true.
It doesn't make much sense.
It doesn't seem that way, does it?
Yeah. Do you prefer that life in the life you're in?
Well, there might be some aspects of it, but I don't know if I want to go back and just, the past is past, and you can't live in the past. But I think there are some things that are not as good as some aspects of the other life.
What are some of the social activities, like you were just telling about sleigh riding, and did they have hay rides back then when you were growing up?
I was at home. My mother kept me sailing around in her wings. I was very frail and delicate. You didn't think it now.
Yes, I would.
And I didn't go out a lot.
Even when you got older? Like, you didn't get to go out and socialize? Did you have certain girlfriends you might go and spend the night with?
I think that children then could amuse themselves, like to do in the best days. I can remember one time that happened right out here at the end of this yard. My father was working and we got the mail over here of all places, mm-hmm. and I guess maybe that's why he went for with the mail. And we had a horse, she was very gentle, her name was Cinderella, called her Swift. And I was on her back, and he left me on the horse's back. I was kind of sick. And she started to walk home. And I, what do you call the hair that's right behind the horse's mane? What is that hair that's two hairs just behind the mane? Not the fetlock. Fetlock's up here.
Oh, you're getting into some things I don't know.
Well, anyway, I grabbed the two hairs that were right in her mane, I think, and I was holding on, and instead of saying words, and the words, I remember from the mother.
Oh,
no one, the whole thing went on home. And my mother happened to be in it. And the black maid, yeah, I said the so mean, was in the stable, and Sid was heading there. And if I'd have got under that horse's feet, she could have kicked me to death, probably. But my mother heard me in time, and
but the horse didn't take off and run. She just walked back.
Oh, no. Old kids were just walking along quietly, you know.
Did you like riding horses?
No, I didn't see kids. You ain't trying to be the size boy. And you
know,
your
legs stuck out.
And my legs on that old horse. And I'm holding on to it. And my father was pulling that lady. He said, you know, talk about sending her to the bone mill. And I would cry. I don't know what to do. That pleased me.
Yeah.
But I noticed the day when she did die, and they, you know, they,
you saw my Cinderella,
and they, they went to the bone mill, came in. Yeah, my father, he had business other, you know, he would have business someplace else, because he wasn't anxious to see our lady either.
And what was the name of his bone mill?
You know, it was
No, ma'am, I don't know at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a bone mill.
They called it bone mill. Bone
round up horses,
yeah. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really. Is that what you call a glue factory?
A what?
Is that what you would call a glue factory?
I guess you know, I think they do make glue. Mm-hmm. They get out of horses, too, something.
Well, I don't know about that, ma'am.
I'm not sure, but I know that's where it was.
Mm-hmm. And the day she died, that man from the bone mill, stopped by.
Yeah.
It wasn't for her, though, was it?
Huh?
She wasn't stopping by for the horse, though, was it?
Yeah, she had died.
Yeah, your father.
He said, my father would teach me about a fit, you know, that she didn't even believe in my feeling, and then I would cry. So, the day she died, or rather, well, it'd be short after, maybe, anyway, she was dead, and had to get rid of her, for a thing. And as I said, I think he had business someplace else, didn't he? It was odd that he would have an errand to do it so he wouldn't see it himself. And he's tormenting me. I had a happy life.
Sounds like a
lot of
fun in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Doing all these things that. You
if I had there. Brothers or sisters, I think that would make the
noise. Oh, yeah. You've probably gotten more mischief than you already did. You've probably gotten more mischief than you did before, right? You had a brother.
Oh, yeah, and I had a brother. I climb up, I didn't mind climbing up and getting on a tree or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Did you make forts or tree houses or anything?
Huh?
Did you ever make any tree houses or forts and stuff like that?
Just when you stay in Ireland, I don't do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and just once again, I was talking about the social life, you know. Like, did you have maybe any girlfriends after you started going to school and you got to know some of the kids?
Oh, yeah. I got to play types, you know. I didn't know how to play with other children. Because I wasn't used to it, but, you know, I liked school. And,
Did you ever spend nights over at your girlfriend's house or they come here once you have some friends from school?
Not when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, maybe, but not when I was very young.
How far in grades did you go the blue tide.
Well, you see, at that time, now I think they have, it's elementary, and then junior high, and then senior high, or high school, whatever it is they're calling it, junior high or high school. Well, you see, at that time, there were 8th grades in grammar school. But in junior high, they've never been down to 9th grade, or am I wrong?
Well, maybe some of those places are, I'm not sure, but start 6th, 7th, and 8th in junior high, and then 9th, 10th, and 11th, and 12th, or high school.
But you see, then there would be, after grammar school at that time, then there would be 4 years high school. And I didn't go to a public school, I went to a private school in Baltimore City. 4 years. And then after that, I went to Christian Mount College. I don't know, you know where that is, but in Westminster.
And he taught my mother raised turkeys, right?
Yeah, see, that's, I guess, how I decided to fly.
But I mean, he was saying his mother really didn't care for the farm life and the animals.
I don't think she was as keen on it as, you know, she was afraid of animals. And I remember, we had this milk cow after my father, you know, stopped selling milk. We had a milk cow, you know, just to supply and milk, you know, and butter. And when I think of the unpasteurized milk I drank,
Did you ever help your mother churn butter?
I guess I maybe churned a little bit. I think my father helped with that churning on that. Because it was a big barrel churn. Really big bag. And then we had another smaller churn, I can remember having. And then, you know, it was like, you know, the butter. We had eggs. Oh, meat.
Did you ever have to go collect the eggs from the chicken?
Oh, yes, I could gather eggs.
Well, my mother used to tell me about when she would be sent out, and there'd be certain ones that wouldn't leave the nest, you know, so she could collect them, and I think they were going to peck her. And she would be scared, and she'd go back in and tell her grandmother about it, and her grandmother would say, oh, just go in there and just, you know, flop them right off that nest, you know. Don't ask how you're afraid, but no, you know, they won't rest it. And they had a rooster, and he was the only one, and he would try to spur her every time she was going in the yard. And scared death. And the outhouse was right in the middle of that chicken coop in the yard. And every time she wanted to go back, she'd look around, see that rooster getting around, and run into the outhouse, you know, and then, you know, have to look out and see if she could make it back without him attacking her. But she had pretty good sized birds. Oh, yeah, and she scared death.
You know, the bandits, and how we make him, especially in the western town.
Oh, yeah, because they're stuffing in the family.
Turkey Dollar King.
Oh, really? Do they have spurs by chicken? I was looking at some of the pictures you were showing, and it looked like your mother and father's home was pretty good sized house.
Oh, yes.
How many rooms was in it?
I think, if I remember correctly, I think all together it was 13.
13 rooms.
We did, and I came over here. This one had a 6 house, 6 rooms, and I got rid of the. I was thinking I might go someplace else, but I thought, you know, I got a little bit homesick, but. I didn't move very far, no.
From the old farmhouse, yeah. It looks like, you know, you said instead of 13 rooms, like, how many were there, and then their bedrooms, and how many were
there? Well, let me say, there was a bedroom. The house was, like, in 2 parts.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6, I guess, down in the 7.
6 bedrooms?
All together.
Yeah. That's a lot. It seems like a lot, because most places need more bedrooms. Yeah. 2 or 3 bedrooms need the most, 6 bedrooms. And how did the family use the 6 bedrooms? Because being such a small family, I mean,
well,
for company.
This is this way my father bought the place. And it's remarkable how many things a person collects in thousands of years.
Yeah.
I can tell that to here.
Yeah.
My goodness, they got rid of a lot.
Yeah, I know some of the things like that. What kind of is that like a one of his desks?
A last desk. That belonged to my good grandfather.
Uh-huh.
That's the real Governor Winthrop. It's not a duplication, it's not a.
And it's called the Governor Winthrop desk?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, because I'm sure that is. Oh, and look some of these lamps. I guess it's candle holders.
Oh, yeah.
Is that real crystal hanging from there?
I really know. I got fairy tins from my mother's sister.
Mm-hmm. What are they made out of? Brass or?
I don't know what kind of metal that is.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, you got a lot. I was noticing too, there's a picture of a lady upstairs, you know, an older picture. I wonder if it was you or your mother or in the hallway there. Upstairs and the sister and it was on this side. Sitting
mm-hmm.
on the yeah, there's a picture of a woman on the dresser or something. And I was just wondering if it was a picture of you or a picture of your mother. And
the young woman.
Mm-hmm. With the hair back.
I think you're looking at George Stewart.
Oh, was that a picture of you when you were younger?
Yeah,
that's
young.
Yeah, it's a nice picture. It was in good condition for me.
This is pretty, you know, and I have too many flowers.
Yeah, I'm making a lot of pencils. Well, what about this rocker right here? Mm-hmm. That looks like that's worth that rocker there. That looks like
that platform rocker?
Is that what you call a platform rocker?
Mm-hmm. That's a platform.
How old do you think that is?
Oh, that belonged to my mother's uncle. But it's old.
Your mother's uncle?
It's on platform.
Yeah, so it's still stationary. I've never seen that before.
You never did?
No, I've never noticed one like that before.
It's old. It's very comfortable. Have you ever
found it there? No, I've never seen one like that, though, but
that's the original
material. Is that the original material that it was upholstered with?
What?
Is that the original?
I guess my aunt had this done.
Mm-hmm.
I upholstered it myself, and then I took it off, because, and I didn't. It's different because it's worn so
mm-hmm.
right here.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's one of the things that's been putting on. I did that chair.
You did that
chair? That guy is the one you're sitting on.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's quite handy. I know she has some old fashioned type rugs that you make.
Now with my bum eyesight,
my grandmother, good grandmother used to do, you know, this kind of quilt. And quilts, yeah.
You ever see a crazy quilt?
No.
My mother, the top. Oh,
why do they call them crazy quilts?
I guess it's crazy the way they put together.
Because all the different pieces of material and all.
You know, now, if it's something out of the center,
it's really good. Now, wait a minute. I was just going to say, was this your mother's, your grandmother's?
Oh, my mother's. I don't know where she got it, you know, because it's old. I really don't, but I remember she had it, and I don't know where it would come from. She said,
Well, there, I really have this. And this iron you would put on the stove and heat it up until a certain heat.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you usually have, like, two of these kinds?
Oh,
where one would heat up while you were using the other one?
I've got several.
What kind of, is this like cast iron that these, a lighter one?
Oh, yeah.
This one is pretty heavy, yeah. Feels like this little thing could weigh maybe 5 pounds or more.
Isn't the weight on that? Isn't that?
Yeah, it's a 5, it says on there.
So 5 pounds.
Well, then that one's got to be heavier than this.
Oh, sure. Is that got a
This one's got a 5.
Yeah, a 5.
It's got a higher handle on it than the other one.
Look,
has
that
got a number? Let me see.
Oh, heavy.
It's got some kind of a symbol.
It's heavy. This is a lighter one.
Yeah. No, I can't see any number on it. Wait a minute, let's see.
You know, then I remember had arms that they were, flat in the handle. You put the handle into the arm.
Oh,
collars.
I know. I know.
But
you got
it
too.
Old.
Yeah.
If I took your table out,
you know, I'm going to have. Louise is just showing me two books here that was her great aunt, and somebody gave them to her. We're reading here in, inside of the book, and it's to Molly E. Kirk from this person who can't read the initials, but the date looks like April 1, 1868, and the copyright date is 1867 in New York. And it's the political work, or not the political, poetical work of Robert Burns in Volume 1 and 2. And they're very small, almost to fit in your hand. These would really be worth something.
Mm-hmm.
And even has a picture on the inside of Robert Burns.
Yeah, I need to get in there, but I have lots of, you know.
You could set up your own antique shop, Louise.
Oh, good.
Yeah, you sure could. Yeah. I just wish that the page could show the things you're showing me. I'll try to explain a little bit of what they look like, because
thank you.
Well,
you see,
it's
in the double
road.
How about
oh,
that?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you say this Governor Winthrop's death was your grandfather's?
Great-grandfather.
Mm-hmm. On your mother's side or your father's side?
Maternal. My mother's
side. Mm-hmm. And so, that, I mean, that's how, you know, like, when do you know when that death was made? Like, how old mm-hmm. were you?
I don't know. Yeah, my great-grandfather was born in 1809, and I was born here at the chapel, and I'm like to
which chapel is it?
Union Chapel on Old Apple Road.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to stop seeing when he died.
You're not really seeing when he died, but he was born in 1809.
Abraham Lincoln was born 12th of February 1809. My great-grandfather was born in October.
Mm-hmm.
October 1809.
Mm-hmm. How about that? Well, then how long has your family been in Hospitown, Louise?
My goodness. My great-grandfather Arthur was here. And my grandfather Arthur.
Was that before 1809?
Well,
probably, I guess.
My great-grandfather Arthur, I don't know where this thing was going. I did it for that, but I'm not sure. But my great grandfather Kirk, in 1809, then he married Abraham Lincoln.
And his father was.
Well, I have an old Kirk book, and
Oh, do you have that? Like the family tree?
Well, that's
the Kirk. This is the Kirk, though.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that? Is it talking about? Where is that book? Do you have it in your
own? Oh, yeah, I think it's been. I don't know.
I promise I won't.
Did you ever see that at the time down the
road? Oh, yes, I have.
It's got super doors.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You know where they are?
No,
I'm not sure.
Louise is just handing me a book, and it says The Genealogy of the Kirk Family by Charles A. Stubbs, M.D. And it's so old it's mounted with a rubber band to keep it together. Oh yeah, it looks like it is. I'm opening it up here. And it has an index here. Oh my goodness. And let's see what the dates here are at this point. Okay. And this is actually published then, I guess. Is it public? Was this public? It looks like it was.
I don't know.
Because it does have a... I'm looking here, but I haven't found anything yet. Louise, you just tell me something about a family reunion. When is this, when do you have this family reunion, and where is it located?
Well, it's been meeting the last 3 years at Cooktown, at William Woodard Memorial Methodist Church.
Mm-hmm.
There at the church.
When do you usually have the reunion?
Huh?
When do you usually have the reunion?
In August.
In August.
Of late.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. And how long has this family reunion been going on? When did it get started that, you know, the family would get together?
Well, I think it's kind of started now. You know, boy, the name of Bob and Bishop, because he's a historian.
Uh-huh. Louise just also now handed me a family tree of the Archer family, and we've noticed here that we found her great-grandfather, John Archer, and his wife, Hannah Wilson Trainer. And could you tell us now a little bit about your great-grandfather, John Archer, and his wife, Hannah? Could you tell us a little bit? Do you remember them? Did you,
mm-hmm.
They were dead before you were born.
Oh,
yeah. That's right, looking at these dates they were. Yeah. And I noticed here too on this family tree that it says that John Archer was born October 1st, 1899, and that he died August 9th, 1888, at 78 years of age. And he's buried right here in Arthur County at Union Chapel in Hill,
right.
Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife Hannah. Now you were just telling me about her.
Yes, she took to death on the rabbit
gun. Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. And she was a Quaker, right?
Right. And so that's
the little falls, because she was of the Quaker faith.
Oh,
yes. Is there anybody else in your family that continues with that faith, as far as being a Quaker?
Well, this great aunt is
Molly.
You see, her mother was a Quaker, and it seems as if they inherit their, I guess you could say, a birthright.
Mm-hmm.
So, Aunt Ma, that is my great aunt, she lived the last part of her life at the Quaker home in Baltimore. I think it's on Park Avenue, isn't it?
I don't know where it is up there. Okay. And, what would be John Archer's, how many children did John Archer have? Are these the children here?
No, he had James Archer, and my grandfather Archer, Trainer Archer, Daniel Trainer, and there was a tail at the hand.
Okay, here's Daniel Trainer Archer.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's Caleb Archer.
And Joseph. And George.
Mm-hmm.
My wife.
Louise was just giving me another family tree that was set up by who wrote this one up, you say?
Oh, my father's first cousin, Addie White.
Addie White did this one. And it's a little bit clear of how the line goes here. It starts with John Archer, who married Hannah Turner, which is Louise's great grandparent. And they had 7 children altogether. And she was mentioning there's Caleb and Daniel Trainer and Joseph W. and James H. and George and Susanna and Mary. Okay, and Daniel Trainer Archer married Susanna Stevens, and Louise's father was the firstborn. Was your father the oldest? It looks like it is here. And he was the firstborn of Daniel Trainer Archer, and of course it points out here that her father was Louis Archer, and he married Clara Hutton, and they had the one daughter, who is, of course, Louise Archer. And of course, it mentions here that Louise married Jacob Guy Church, and that they had many children. And that's really interesting. There are so many good things here about your family. See, I don't really know that much about mine. There's nothing really written up that I know of on the family. What were you looking for, Louise?
I'm trying to read
Joseph, and I think
that was a little hard, to figure out what it is. I think what it is that, like, here it starts with the original, and this is what their son, Caleb Brennemarcher, and then this, anything with the three would be his children, and then any of the children of the three would be the four.
Oh,